Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Believe me.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
This ruling makes us look weak. Which, by the way, we no longer are, believe me.
I'm sorry. If he wasn't the president and had his hands, all over the levers of power, what a buffoon! You know what an absolute buffoon! What a joke! What a con man! He's like a musical about a bad snake oil salesman, you know. And it's like, oh, there was this old movie, I forget what it was called, Steve Martin. You know, where he was some snake oil salesman that would go from town to town with his revival tent and all this and steal money from the nice people that were Christians. Remember that? And, you know, there was somebody in the audience that had an earpiece, and Deborah Winger would be behind the scenes, and she would know, you know, what their problem was. And he would say, oh, I feel it's your gallbladder. You know, this is what Trump is. This is what he is. He is such a con man. He had a... I don't even know what to call these things anymore. How is it possible that he's president for 54 days, right, Howard? You're counting. 54? Is today 54? Yeah, he thinks it's 54. How is it possible that he's only been president for like 54 days, and last night he had a reelect President Trump campaign rally paid for by the reelect committee? Do you know why he does that? You have any earthly idea why he does that? He does that because if it's a reelect, then he can... He can allow entry only by ticket holders who have to, appeal to him, who have to actually be, you know, passable, somebody that he would allow in. If he were doing it as the president of the United States without a reelect campaign payment to go to Nashville and to pay for this event, then anybody, any American could attend. And what's really crazy about this is, you know, we've all waited, gotta say, we've all waited for him to reach out and become president of all America, because that is what he is. In reality, he is truly the president of all Americans. Whether the Americans like him, don't like him, support him, don't support him, he still is the president of all Americans. And he refuses to reach out to all Americans. Everybody's been waiting for him to say, I'm president of all America and we're going to do things that benefit all America. No, he keeps on talking to this 39% of America that freaking, it's actually 26% of America that voted for him. He keeps on doing this. He surrounds himself with it. He is the neediest man I have. And listen, I've known needy. I know needy. Hey, over here. I know needy. I can do needy. This man is like beyond. This is why Melania is in New York. She's like, you deal with him. You take him. I'm done. I don't want to live with him. You know, it is an amazing thing. So his travel ban, this is what he's talking about. Remember yesterday I was arguing with Will, and Will was trying to tell me that the travel ban was the same as Obama's. Obama never had a travel ban. That's number one. What we did have were people under a visa waiver program in countries like Belgium and France, and also Iraqis who were refugees who fought with us could come here. And all of a sudden we said, oh, look, there's some guy living in Kentucky, and his fingerprints were found on an improvised explosive device on the battlefield in Iraq. Maybe we should relook at how we allow refugees into the country. And so we made them go through more vetting and get visas. That's what happened. Now, if you want to know where the real threat is, the real threat is from, as you know, ISIS. And who fights with ISIS in Syria and Iraq? Let's see. Foreign fighters. Foreign freaking fighters. Wahhabist Islamists, who predominantly learn this in Saudi Arabia. You know, He was talking about, how he has to do this. He will never compromise the safety of the United States. We've got a beachhead of terrorism that just wants to come in. There is no evidence. And this is why the courts keep striking down these travel bans. There's two reasons. One, they are unable to present any evidence that there is a threat from Syrian refugees on the front of terrorism, that there is a they couldn't do it with Iraq. They couldn't show that there was a threat to American security by allowing Iraqi refugees into the country. There is extreme vetting, as you know, takes 2 years to get a visa, takes 2 years in the, you know, you start in the refugee camp. The UN, you know, goes and talks to people, and then their irises are scanned, fingerprints are taken. Their health is also, you know, looked at. And it takes 2 years. There's personal interviews. There's everything else. They go and they find out whether or not they are really fleeing some sort of death cult like ISIS, or are they fleeing, you know, war, famine? What are they actually fleeing? And if they're proven to be right, they move to the next step. They don't come into the country. They move to the next step. So, you know, we know that we have extreme vetting. And we also know that the foreign fighters that are fighting with ISIS in places like Raqqa, Syria, and places like Mosul, Iraq, are coming from countries like Belgium and France. And nobody has a problem letting the Belgian and the French in, do you? No, only the Muslim countries. This is why the travel ban keeps getting struck down. This, and because Donald Trump says the most bizarre crap of any person that ever held the office of president in the history of the United States. Donald J. Trump is, you know, for an all-out ban on Muslims, and we have to do it. We have no choice. And then Rudy Giuliani goes on the TV and he goes, well, you know, he's talking to Jeanine Pirro on Fox. She's the Sunday Night Granny Cam is what she is. And, you know, she says to Rudy, you know, tell me, here, I'll show you. She says to Rudy, so tell me what happened. Tell me everything. And he goes, well, all right. I just want to prove how important I am, how large a man I am. Nosferatu. I'm a bloodsucker. He's a parasite. He's a leech. So Rudy Giuliani, she says, so tell me everything that happened. He goes, well, he called me up and he asked me for a Muslim ban. And I said, I could do it legally for you. Right? This was a factor in the judge's decision. And it wasn't just a judge in Hawaii last night, Judge Watson. It's also another one in Maryland. They all said, there is no getting around this. Everything they said before he was president, and everything he said after he was president. See, this little Rudy Giuliani thing, this is after he was president. Now, I know Alan Dershowitz was saying, well, you know, if they use what he said on the campaign trail, then this will be a first for the Supreme Court. They're not, Alan. They're not using what he said on the campaign trail. They're using what his surrogate said the day after the first, you know, the first Muslim ban. They're using what people said, what Steve Miller said about the second Muslim ban. He said that if they're just going to tweak it a little, the result is going to be the same. And Rudy, who told Jeanine Pirro how they got to this Muslim ban.
Whole history of it. So all right. When he...
Oh, come on. Come on. Oh, let's try this. Hang on. 1 second. I got a lot of open tabs. I think, you know, you understand what that
thing
is.
Tonight. Joining me now to talk about this is former mayor of New York City and advisor to President Trump on cybersecurity.
Tonight. Rudy Giuliani.
Joining me now to talk. All right. Good evening,
Judge,
Mr.
Where'd
Mayor. I am fine. This just breaking news during my open. Federal judge signing this stay. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I think it's...
See, he's already
first
president.
Of all, I thought your opening was absolutely a terrific explanation of what's been wrong with this country for 30 years. Good deal of time that you were district attorney. I was U.S. attorney in the Southern District right. of New York, and I couldn't get the immigration service to deport the criminals who were coming out of jail. They put them on bail and they commit more crimes, and then I'd have to arrest them again.
It's because they weren't
and
adjudicated.
It's totally absurd. What Donald Trump wants to do, what Homeland Security wants to do under him, is focus on the criminal illegal aliens and get them out of the United States. Who possibly could object to that? I have no idea what these mayors are thinking about.
I don't know what they're thinking about either, and I have the same problem. I would seek to have someone deported after they serve their jail time. Their country didn't want them, so the United States would say, okay, we'll keep them.
Well, then what we should do is... First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Uh-huh.
They shouldn't be catch and release. They shouldn't go to jail for...
Okay, I just want to interrupt it for a brief moment. Do you realize that catch and release is for fishing? It should never, ever be used as a term for humans. Ever. Okay.
5 years for assault or attempted murder or selling drugs and then go back out on the street. They should go into a detention center. They should be held. They should be held.
Wait, they've already served their time as the court applied it, right? The court sentences people for crimes. But if you... if you're here without documentation, you should stay in jail the whole time you're here. Hey, what would that cost us? Yeah, and this is, we'll get to the budget. This is what's in Donald Trump's budget. Private prisons for the people that that have been adjudicated, serve their time, and then come out of prison. Rudy wants them to stay in prison. I don't know under what law they would stay in prison, but he wants them in there.
And then we should exert all the pressure that we have, which is enormous, by the way, to deport them to the country.
Apparently, your pressure wasn't enormous. We need more pressure.
In fact, in the executive action that the President Trump just signed, he talked about limiting visas from those countries that refuse to accept criminals back to their countries. They say, these countries that say, oh, no, he's too dangerous for us to take back. Well, here's the deal. Now we're going to pull you by the short hairs, you can't come here.
Ow.
But that makes perfect sense. And now we've got a president who gets it. Thank
well,
goodness.
That actually describes his whole first week in office, which is negotiating.
I'm only doing this so that you can see he was already serving. Okay, who was
not
president?
Not the rest of the world, but protecting our citizens from what's happened with illegal criminal immigrants and in a lot of other areas. This last week, I think, has been a week that where he has done more than Roosevelt did in 100 days.
I don't think there's any question.
I don't think there's any question. I think there are questions.
He's been airborne since the first 24 hours.
He doesn't sleep. He doesn't. I know this.
I know that.
He doesn't. We both know him personally, right? This man doesn't.
This
sleep.
Is objective.
It's unbelievable. But I want to ask
is.
You about this
it
ban.
Is. It's unbelievable. Thanks for including me in your
conversation. Does the ban have anything to do with religion? How did the president decide the seven countries? I understand the permanent ban on the refugees. Talk to me.
Tell you the whole history of it.
Yeah.
So
right.
When he first announced it, he said Muslim ban. He called me up. He said, put a commission together. Show me the right way to do it legally. I put a commission together with Judge Mukasey, with Congressman McCall, Pete King, whole group of other very expert lawyers on this.
All at Greenberg Traurig, the largest lobby shop in the world. Yes, yes.
And what we did was we focused on, instead of religion, danger.
He asked me for a Muslim ban, so I went to all my colleagues at Greenberg Traurig, which is the world's largest lobby shop, where Mukasey has an office next to mine. We're both lobbyists, you know, Janine. And we talked, and we said, you know, let's focus on danger. This is the problem with the Muslim ban. First of all, Rudy said, it is a Muslim ban. We just decided to find a way to make it sound and look a little better, because it really smelled. A First Amendment, effrontery. It really stunk. So we said, hey, you know what? Well, let's get the court's eye off of the fact that these are all Muslim majority nations and let's focus on danger. So the court said, all right, let's do. Where's your evidence that there's danger from Syrian refugees? Show us the record. Show us the, you know, large increase in terrorism in this country by Syrians. Show us the large increase in terrorism by Iraqi refugees. Show us where you want us to focus, you know, produce the evidence, because it is a court of law after all. I mean, they have no respect for the courts. You heard this conversation about Mexicans, you know, or whatever nationality they were referring to. It doesn't even matter. They're just talking about, well, after they are adjudicated guilty and after they serve their time, I don't want them to be released back into, America. I want them to be put in a private detention center. Now, under what constitutional law or principle would you be allowed to extend somebody's adjudicated sentence handed down by a court of law based on the criminal evidence that was presented at their trial and a jury verdict or a plea deal that they entered into? And then the judge passes the verdict and says, okay, and here's your punishment. You're going to go to jail for, 7 months. Because he had a baggie. He had a baggie, and it was seedy, too. Have you never heard of hydroponics? Very seedy and twiggy. I don't even know how you would crush that. Okay, gives you headaches. And didn't like the kind they had. And gave him 7 months. So after the 7 months, Rudy wants them to go from the jail to a private detention. So they have no respect for the court. Here's the problem with the travel ban. The judge actually cited that appearance by Rudy Giuliani on the TV. The judge actually cited Donald Trump's, Donald J. Trump wants to institute a Muslim ban. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. We have no choice. And Stephen Miller, who also spoke after Trump was president and after the first Muslim ban was struck down. And they said the intent is the same. Stephen Miller said so.
Clear for takeoff.
Randy Rhodes, Air Force.
Air Force.
RandyRhodes.com.
Go to RandyRhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.